Greetings. I'm your host, James Gillen, and we've got a great show tonight. I've been off the air doing some pre-records before because of going to the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, where contact has begun, and contact did happen there, and we've got it on film. So it was a wonderful experience, did a wonderful lecture, followed by a workshop where everybody got to actually experience firsthand the different beings, the higher dimensional beings coming in. And it was just an amazing experience. People walked out of there, and it took them, you know, probably 2 or 3 hours to get back with their feet on the ground. But it was quite interesting watching, you know, the reaction to people when the energies came in. And that's all there at Contact in the desert at Joshua Tree. So those videos are all up and ready, and I think you can purchase them right now if you want. And we also did a Skywatch, and during the Skywatch, some of the photographs were taken of some amazing interdimensional ships that appeared over the group, as well as, you know, orbs and light spheres everywhere, and other strange, like, vertical lightning happening through the group that wasn't being seen by the naked eye, but was being picked up by the cameras. But anyways, and overall, it was a great success, and we got the word out, and we got the information up about the Anunnaki return and what's going on, which is another show. I can't cover all that in here, but they're back. The Anunnaki are back. They're benevolent. They've been snorting gold dust for 450,000 years, and the High Council has always been benevolent, but the fallen ones they left behind to govern humanity and oversee humanity fell themselves, you know, and they have those following them, which we're working out the remnants of that right now. So, I mean, there's the old wrathful God Enlil that would like to see us all go away, and you're seeing that expressed through all the chemtrails and the GMOs and all the other things happening. And then there's the Enki, the all-loving God, you know, that would like to see us preserved. And so we're seeing that being acted out even today. You know, because we do have the genes of the gods, but we can transcend those genes and focus on unity consciousness. But anyway, for our show tonight, I've got Greg Sullivan with Jay SETI, which is the Japan offshoot of enlightened contact with extraterrestrial intelligence, but it's the Japan aspect of that. And they're having amazing experiences over there in Japan, and I want to start off by introducing Greg and letting him talk a little bit about his experiences here at eSETI and some things happening over there in Japan as well. So welcome to the show, Greg.
Thanks for having me, James. It's great to be back. We're here on a tour for the first time in about a year, but it's been quite a busy year. We were just talking last night in the field about how it seems like a year in you know, certain people's time frame, but it's been a fast year with about 2 years worth of activity involved in it, at least.
Yeah.
Oh, if not more. But yeah, we have a nice group this time, and over the winter, we're just going through a lot of work writing, so thanks for your message. We did another article with James that was came out as far as, like, you know, the topics and themes for 2013. We've been working closely with a magazine in Tokyo that has that works nationwide over there. So it's been good to start to get this truth out there and through about contact and also the exposure of the negative stuff that's been going on, as well as stuff regarding ascension and a lot of other kind of great stuff. The contact experience, we're bringing that to people who are starting at square one, and people who are at our events are in a few different categories. Some of them are, well, kind of star seeds and ET soul folks that are awakening, and this is a trigger experience for them. And there's the people that have never had a forum to speak in, especially in the countryside. We find ourselves a lot in really rural communities, and people who have never had a forum to share their experience up until now. And then they like, you know, they meet each other. And so we have a lot of great synchronicities and a lot of kind of destined type meetings within the events, which are excellent. So it's an all around experience. And the Skywatches are, the contact itself in the field is awesome. And then the stuff that's happening on the human side is really inspiring as well. So, we're making a great progress. And we also tune into the backup with a lot of the remote sessions at eCity here, which has been really cool.
The remote sessions that I noticed that a lot of the people in remote sessions are having amazing breakthroughs and openings and walking away with conscious contact with their own main teachers and guides in the Star Nations. But we did a group out in the prayer circle out there. We have a Tibetan prayer circle that's on a real strong energy spot on the ranch this morning, and just watching the people reacting to the energy there and what happened there. Maybe you could explain a little bit about what you experienced in the vortex.
Sure, for sure. Yeah, one of the women on the tour here has recently lost a father. She was one of the people who really had some amazing breakthroughs after her remote session, TPR session, and she's got that Andromeda connection that's very strong. And so she's a really empowered woman, and then now she's, you know, so this morning she was able to reconnect with her dad there, on as well as one of the ETs that was in the area or connecting into us. So people just, you know, went from kind of one level of relaxation into another level of elation, you know, and we had people, you know, crying on site and laughing and just really feeling the different beings coming in. So it's great to give people the experience in one 24-hour period of having really intense visual contact in the field, and then bring that much closer into their real lives with either, you know, these different kinds of techniques that go on.
Yeah, I know it's been a life-changing process for a lot of the people that have come here, because we get a lot of feedback. We keep getting emails, and they have their experience here, and then they go back to Japan, and they start taking photographs of all these incredible paranormal things and ships appearing to them and everything else. So it's a great link. And I think in these times, too, we need to send as much love and healing energy as we can to Japan, because they are being tested to the max, you know, with Fukushima and the tsunami and all the other things going on. We did world healing meditations and focused mainly on Japan, sending energy there with our good friend Khan over there as well, trying to assist in this process. But I think it's great linking up here and them coming here and taking that energy back to Japan.
Yeah, it's been an interesting process. And every tour, every event, this is our fourth time here. So every time we're kind of discovering new ways to facilitate the experience for people and during the daytime. It's interesting the way we get a lot of, we put out the word about the tour and stuff, but the people actually finally end up making it. It's almost like the mountain or the people, the ETs involved here are in a filtering screening process in a way. It's an interesting level of the people who really actually make it here are they're kind of meant to meet each other, and the experience that happens when they come is sort of almost written in another, you know, it usually is written before it actually happens in the 3D. So we definitely all pick up on that.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm just curious about the response of doing the sky watches here and the response that you've gotten back from your group after seeing, you know, the major power-ups, the ships, you know, changing, turning, doing all these incredible acrobatics in the sky without, you know, making it very clear these are not, you know, airplanes, or these are not satellites, or these are not any known objects. I was wondering if the feedback you're getting from the group.
Yeah, I mean, in the last two nights, we've had just repeated high-level activity. So we do a sharing. We take time to share our opinions and impressions in the morning. So this morning, we did that out in the middle of the field. And you know, even one of the people was really, he had a history of kind of old sightings of fully materialized craft. And sometimes that's hard to bring up what's happening now against that, because he has a kind of fixed impression. But he said, you know, yeah, it's just unmistakable. When you see that many ships in one place in one time, it's just undeniable. So it's, you know, and then the great thing is that people, you know, they're really having a great time in the field and everything, but then they're immediately they're plugging into the messages and getting down what does contact mean to them. So their interpretation of the phenomenon is already starting, which is really, that's the next level even, which is awesome.
Nice hearing them like getting all excited when a ship powers up.
They just go crazy, yeah. But what's interesting about the Japanese is that they have a real strong sense of instinct and impression for subtle, like things that are beyond words or just the experience. So we don't have to go through all the scientific rigor of proving it to people, which is so refreshing over there. Mm-hmm. So when I went back over to Japan in 2010 and I had all the, you know, was in this pose of from in a Western mind state of trying to convince people and showing them the evidence. And it was a shock to say, to be in a situation where people said, yeah, I believe you. Now what? So you clear that hurdle so much faster a lot of times in those with other cultures. So it's interesting.
Well, it's nice to get beyond the proving stage, you know, we're proving they exist and get to like, who are they and why are they here?
Yeah.
And that's our main focus on is how can they benefit humanity and the earth and what are their intentions? Yeah. And that seems to be totally ignored by most other groups.
Yeah, that's what needs to be, we need to drive right to the core of that. And that's something that's what's so awesome about Iseti is that you've got the experience that you can have at night and then the strongly linked information and kind of like, not the theories behind it, but the information that's along with the experience here is really it's really unique, you know, and it translates in a lot of ways to different people. So
great, and we're going to go over across the pond here to Canada, and we've got John Kelly on our right here, and we're going to ask John Kelly about some of his experiences in the field, and he's been filming for what, 4 years now or something?
About 4 years.
He's been out in the field till the wee hours in the morning, just filming. We have so much footage now, we don't know what to do with it, but of these ships doing everything imaginable. But we're going to turn over to John and get his impression on his experiences and what he's seen as far as others having their own awakening process here as well.
Well, James, it's great to be back in the studio with you and Greg. Wonderful to see you again from Japan.
Yeah,
thank you for being here. It's awesome to talk with you about these issues that are so important and emerging. I see in Canada so many unique individuals stepping forward now to assume the helm and using night vision equipment to make their own movies and to help break the mindset about denial and you know, that we're all alone and it's all about the material world. You know, there's a bigger picture emerging in Canada, and I'm seeing it on the front lines of people like Les Mirza and Charles Lamoureux that I've been working with extensively for several years, both in the city of Vancouver as well as in the Okanagan region of the British Columbia interior, which is really part of the larger Columbia River Basin where Iseti resides as well here in southern Washington. Mm-hmm. So, UFO contact. Vancouver has a long-standing history, and I was raised in that city. I saw some of the phenomena as a teenager, but it wasn't really until I got in touch with you, James, that I learned about the opportunity here at the ranch and how much was going on a regular basis. You know, it wasn't like a once-a-year, once-in-a-lifetime thing on the other end of the planet. I was so fortunate that I lived in the region and I could visit you here. And I was inspired on those early visits, even back in the 1990s. I just saw things happening at different levels and trying to make sense out of all the different things happening. You know, it's a little overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah.
But I got it in my mind. I said, you know, I really need a high-end type of camera system to take to this location and really do it right and nail it, you know, in high-quality broadcast quality. And so I got a system that I brought here back in 2009. I started taping. I still had a lot to learn about how to do it right. But I started getting material, and it really opened my eyes to, you know, beyond what I might be imagining. Really objectively, there were lights in the trees and on the field, you know, and there were lights in the field interacting with us. And the UFOs were powering up when people had used the laser with them. And, you know, that instrument sort of took the argument beyond anything, you know, any self-questioning. It was really now an objective fact. And since that time, I graduated up into some specialized night vision equipment that I've been using here extensively alongside you, James, with your Gen 3 equipment. And this year has been an emphasis on introducing night vision, entry-level night vision systems that are great for starlight watching or just general use. We've been introducing those here and getting a great response. The future UFO filmmakers are coming here to Iseti, and they're starting to make their movies here, and they're taking that night vision, the Iseti contact experience, they're taking it back home to their friends and community and helping spread the good word. So I feel like I'm a part of something very exciting. Not only have I been a participant in these close encounters of the fifth kind on many occasions working with you, James, out in the field, but I've been able to share these experiences with my friends up in Canada. I've been able to publish extensively and receive a lot of support for that. I know Greg is doing a great job making inroads into the Japanese media, and I've been very successful over a number of years with my background as a CBS radio feature producer and with number one rated television in the United States. I've had access to publication on websites like USA Today, Forbes, Dallas Morning News, Long Island Newsday, carry my stories on a relatively frequent basis. So the world is interested in these issues. I'm in a fortunate position where I can publish and research, be on the front line with people like yourself, James. It's been a really cool equation. But ultimately, I think one of the lessons I've taken from this experience, you know, the contact with the higher dimensionals and so on, has to do with teamwork on down here below, mm-hmm. you know, how well we work together to achieve a better result, you know, how much harmony we can create, how much joy we can manifest in our lives, and how much we can get in sync with this bigger universe that is seemingly going on around us. We don't want to be left behind. You know, we want to ride too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, it's extremely exciting. And, when I see, you know, great people come together, like the summer events we've had here at the ranch, you know, it's only inspiring me further.
Yeah. We've got some big events that people want to check in. Send us an email at ESETI reservations, or go to the website if you want to find out more about things going on. But we've got Neil Kramer coming up, and we've got the ambassador training as well in October. So if you want to find out more, just go to the ESETI.org website and send an email to ESETI reservations, because these events are not up on the site. You need to have a private invitation due to various things that have happened here at the ranch. So we had to go completely private, but that's another story. But anyway, so if people want to come up to the ranch, they just have to just shoot us an email or give us a phone call.
ecityreservations@gmail.com.
Yeah, gmail.com. It's important to realize that things are changing, and we're having to change with those things, and more pressure is being put on us the more we bring this information out. And there's a few warnings I wanted to give to people that it's very important, like all of us here are really focused on empowering the individual, and we believe that contact is going to come through the individual, and it doesn't need to come through an external authority. So we're actually gathering other people together so they can have their own personal experiences and share, and getting them set up with equipment so they can film their own ships and put them on YouTube and get it out that way. And, you know, my feeling is, I can't speak for the others, but I just think it's a form of insanity to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And when we expect a government that's lied to us for over 60 years to almost all of a sudden come clean and tell us the truth and not twist it to their own agenda, I just don't think that's going to happen. So, you know, the vast majority is, I'm seeing polls into 90, 95% now of the people believing that UFOs exist and there is a government cover-up. So in my opinion, the cover-up's over. I mean, it's already crashed. So let's go to the next level. Who are they? And why are they here? And how can we assist if this is part of the awakening and healing process, if these beings do have extreme technology and they've transcended disease and all of their energy needs are met fearlessly and easily, and if they've learned how to live according to universal law and they don't have war anymore, they have peace, universal peace, then, you know, maybe it's time to connect with these beings and we can learn something from them. And it's also time to set some firm boundaries, you know, with other individuals seen and unseen who are here for different reasons that aren't aligned with universal law. So, I mean, that's our focus here. And it's very important that we become our own disclosure, that, you know, we just share this information with friends and family and get this information out on a grassroots level and be careful about steering this information, because when you have the Messiah, the one person out there that's heading everything, they can be taken down very easily. And we're seeing that as we speak. So there's some of the people that we thought were really in our camp, you know, that were doing, you know, what we thought was a very noble program or whatever, seeming to be falling by the wayside. And we're finding out that there's things that are not really as they should be, you know, within certain organizations. So it's very important that we maintain a high level of integrity, a high level of honesty, and that our whole focus is coming from, you know, love is the ultimate power, love empowers, love serves, and that we're not here to create a following or, you know, steal people's power or get people to follow us and not lead themselves. So I don't know if anybody else has anything to say about that.
Well, I think, yeah, I'm a pretty good example of that right here.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like everything started here. And then I almost was tempted to make a video when, you know, it's like I could say that everything that I was picked up here, or I could say through and through 100% was, has been turned out to be not only true, but, you know, beyond that. So, I mean, it's like we, you know, these are soul contracts and all this other stuff that's happening that it's just beyond the level of our normal understanding as humans even. So, contact is going on that level, and we're manifesting that. So, that's perfectly my experience here. I came and got something, you know, got some sort of program downloaded, and then as I listened to more shows just like this one, you know, this show, at times, you know, doing laundry on a Sunday morning, it said, my listen on a Sunday morning in Japan. But, just the experience you have, and then you look back and pick up information related to it, and it just starts to flower like that. So, yeah. Many thanks to James and all the work he's done for this law.
You know, there's a lot of pitfalls that a person can encounter when they're pursuing this kind of access to this kind of knowledge or experience. And I think a great metaphor, and James may agree with me on this, is the spiritual path, because we know so much about what's happened to those who've gone before us and maybe some of the mistakes they made when they almost got, you know, to enlightenment, just a little deviation there, and disaster can follow. So there's reference points that tell us, you know, like even if a person can demonstrate successful contacts, there are still challenges to come. And I think, you know, what I mentioned earlier, the ESAID experience sometimes can be so overwhelming just because you're getting so much stimulation. You know, the UFOs are in the sky and all this new information coming from the podium, reading, you know, books with new ideas is all these dimensions were being stimulated on here. But, you know, coming away from that, you know, we have to look at things like ethics, you know, character building. I mentioned team building earlier, harmony. I was someone for example, I was someone who was heavily involved in musical studies, like 20 years. And I had at least 25 private instructors that I pursued studies with. And I felt that if the day ever came when I thought I no one could teach me anything anymore, there would be a big problem. So this idea, as we were talking about before, being, you know, the type A, you know, evangelist, which is what this American U.S. culture demands that in a lot of ways, you know, be like highly visible, you know, personalities. The pitfall is, of course, that our ego may blind us to, you know, our better angels and the wisdom that they can serve us. And the only way to get there is to go back and retreat, you know, to get quiet again, slow down, and be willing to reflect, right? To engage in some self investigation, say what's going on. We know some people who have been very powerful in making contributions to help change society's view of questions related to ET contact. But at the same time, I think most serious people agree that there's been some serious mistakes that have happened. And we don't want all of our good work. Someone like James, you've got decades invested here. You don't want to see your good work go up in flames. You know, you want to see, you know, good results, enlightenment, not because the whole thing burned down, but because everyone got empowered, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's some things that I wanted to cover. And you know, there's a dark side to ufology. And the highest levels of ufology, unfortunately, have a lot of disinformation people in there and misinformation and planned opposition where people are shaking their fist and threatening the government and this and that. But, you know, you see them drive off in Rolls Royces with five armed bodyguards and you wonder what's wrong with this picture, you know, so where's that money coming from, you know, but anyway, we have to really go within and get our BS meter going, you know, our inner sensitivity, if you want to use a spiritual term. We need to stop coming from the ego and listen to the chest thumping and I did this, I did that, I did this. You know, that's so boring right now. It's about, you know, who's out there really empowering the individual to have their own personal contact that's sharing information that is not wanting a following, that is not taking advantage of people and that's really, you know, doing the wraparound and all of their work and wrapping the energy back to the person versus walking off everybody, you know, with bedazzled, you know, following somebody that shot out so much intellectual rhetoric that their minds just shut down and now they're zombies. You know, they're following them wherever they go. That's not about, it's an inward thing. It's a very simple thing. It's all about an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent to make this thing happen. And one of the lamas I studied with, he said, there's so few enlightened beings on this planet because it's so damn simple. He said, just focus on love and joy and bliss till you become it, and let the heart govern you. You know, the soul sits right next to the heart. The soul is connected to the source, and the source is more of a feeling than it is an intellectual construct. So it's very important right now that we tap into that soul energy, that inner sensitivity energy, and sense and feel what feels right to you and trust yourself too. If your BS meter goes off and you go, wait a second, this just doesn't sound right, this isn't aligning, feel free to challenge that or stand up and just say, this just isn't right. And we did see that at Joshua Tree, you know, on a major event. So I won't go into details on that, but a lot of people just stood up and said, you know what, this isn't working for me, and walked out. And a lot of other people just continued, you know, like sheep, like a deer in the headlights watching the event, you know. So it is so important that we do develop our inner sensitivity and not be misled, you know, in this process, because, you know, there's a grand awakening happening. There's incredible beings coming in to assist us in this awakening. And there are some challenges on the lower levels. There are regenerate ETs that we are going to have to set boundaries with and be very firm and stand in our own self-authority. And we teach those tools here on how to deal with that. So, go ahead.
It's like like you're saying, it's like the male-dominated society. And just to contrast Japan here with the U.S., are the very foundations of our Western culture and our stance on logic and the, you know, our approach to reality is being challenged with the return of this divine feminine.
Yeah.
And just wanted to counterpoint here with the, like just what we were saying earlier with, Japan sort of not being on the podium and in the head of everyone in the shadows, but back doing some really major light working for the earth and a spot that some really big, kind of ascension type work is happening in. And we've seen that in there's a lot of material about that that's not in English yet. So we're hoping to try and, be, the revolving door that goes bringing the good stuff from here over there and vice versa, the stuff that contrasts people's great work here from there. One of those is a set of automatic writing called the Hifumi Shinji, Hifumi meaning 1, 2, 3. It came down via a Shinto priest, in the Tokyo area in the 40s and 50s, he predicted the 311 tsunami.
Yeah.
And so after 311, the Hifumi and the Japanese take on ascension has really garnered a lot of attention. And so there's been a lot of people, a lot of local light workers around the country moving in all sorts of ways, you know, doing the grid work, people taking events, part in our events and then run up and then taking off to do their own thing. And so it's been a very fast push in the advancement of consciousness. And then we talk about the hive mind in Japan and them being a conscious resonator like an antenna to help to create this hundredth monkey effect that's going to change our planetary consciousness. It has a strong effect. So there's a lot of conspiracy about the man-made earthquake. And over there, there's a guy who's already sold like 5 or 6 books immediately came out about it was a harp earthquake, you know, 311.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a role. There's the thing, the mainliners, the headliners that are out there, but as we know in the world of music, but John and I, you know, I grew up on the underground, you know, so it's a balance of both. So America's done that real 3D thing, and they've been on, and we've been at the head of science and a lot of invention and innovation in the past few hundred years. But this is going to be a switch in how we do business and how our society is going to change as this divine feminine really starts to become our reality. You know.
Yeah, the Shinto religion basically. I know they do respect like all the other dimensions and the other beings, the nature spirits, all that stuff. They're open to other realities and experiences. So, I mean, they're already primed for contact.
Exactly.
You know,
the term ETI, extraterrestrial intelligence, matches perfectly with the Shinto and what's called the Ko-Shinto, the primordial Shinto, which is pure animism. So that docks right in with the Native American beliefs and faith, and it's exactly that, perfectly said. They're primed for contact. That's why we've had such high level contact right from the get go. So it's I'm not a guru. I'm not a meditation instructor or anything. But
yeah.
I'm just a facilitator, and you know, I create the space where these things can happen over there. And we've had a lot of support from the from non-seeing places.
I know John Kelly here has a long history of studying the Vedic scriptures and practices and things like that. So maybe you can talk to us about how maybe ET fits into that belief system.
Yeah, you know, the indigenous practices of South Asia have inclusion for light beings and other dimensions and human access. You know, the shamans of those ancient societies had a lot of experiences, and some of it trickled down to the literature that's still around today in the Vedas. So the concept of, you know, the sky god Vishnu is found in the Rig Veda, which is one of the world's oldest books. And this concept is evoked from my personal perspective when we're seeing these very powerful UFO massive incidents. You know, they're so awe-inspiring, and we feel our stature. Well, you know, in spirit we feel uplifted, but of course physically we feel kind of diminished because it's like being next to a giant ship. The sense of awe is incredible. So the sense of, you know, the sky gods of the Vedic times and the concept of Vishnu is a very important idea. You know, when we look at Tantra philosophy and physiology, people talk about chakras, and the chakras have geometric designs associated with each one of them called the yantra. And these are supposed to be the representations of the sounds of the mantras that are making the chakras. So at the Ajna chakra, or the sixth chakra, the third eye of Western mysticism, the depiction shows two petals, a disc, an inverse triangle, and a dot in the center, and that's the yantra. And the simple interpretation of this is that the two petals are wings, and the disc is a flying disc. And we see, even here at ESETI, some of my better footage shows how UFOs flying below treetop level in still frames in infrared video reveal portraits like the profile of the head of a bald eagle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the eagle in flight is evoked by this super high-tech phenomenon. And they're speaking to us in, as you understand, Greg, in animistic terms that our First Nations would understand, our Native Americans would understand. You could be a Stone Age person and still have a meaningful interaction with them. Back to James's point, we don't, you know, the high priests, you know, certainly, you know, have contributed a lot to our intellectual wealth, but their role in this era and in this particular venue may not be as significant. We may not have to call down to Los Alamos and ask them, you know, should I start recording? It looks like a UFO. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
You know, we may not need their intervention on every level. Our obsession in this society, because, you know, science is a professional venue, these careers, salaries, and prestige, all these things that, you know, in short term may have some value, but in terms of human evolution and big picture stuff, absolutely meaningless. A person, you know, who has the gifts of education also needs to, you know, get off the high podium and be part of something bigger. You know, a person may be a contributor to a movement that has great meaning to society, and by contributing and not attempting just to wrest control, just to be a power, you know, control freak, so to speak, by contributing, they may be able to do something really important, and they will be remembered well.
Yeah.
So you know, James, it's always back to these simple things. You're so lucid on these ideas that, you know, the ego, the interference. You know, we're stumbling, we're misstepping ourselves, we're crossing ourselves up. We've got to stop doing that. We've got to slow down. Look at our real objectives. And you know, our ancient people understood these things. I think that the Vedic people had some really great ideas. The Tantric people of South Asia knew a lot. We need to reintegrate a little bit with some of this ancient wisdom, the Shendo, the First Nations, Native American. They knew some things that we still need to reconnect.
Yeah, I know that in the ancient scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, they talk about the Vimanas and the flying ships and the ships of the gods, and they explain the different types of weaponry on these ships. And some of the ships were physical ships, some ships were pure energy ships, some ships were like Merkabas. And so, you know, they have in-depth descriptions of these ships and even how to build them, you know, and I guess they ran off of Mercury or something too. So it's amazing all the information in these ancient, you know, scriptures. If we look at it and we look at all the frescoes, which I just showed in a presentation of a very, very, you know, religious or spiritual events happening with UFOs in the background and UFOs interacting with golden beams, you know, hitting Mother Mary in the crown while she's praying, and over when Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist, this huge golden disc with gold light coming down. So there's so many frescoes like that. It's so clear that these have been in our history all throughout our ancient history. And it's just undeniable. They've always been here. And which goes into the next level of I'm wondering when everybody's waiting for contact, when's contact going to happen? contact has been happening. It's still happening. It's happening here at ESETI. It's been happening around the world. And my question is, when are we going to cover it and just accept the fact that it's already happening? And when are we just going to start listening to people that are being contacted and stop with the giggle factor and the ridicule and see, well, is there, what can we learn from these contacts? You know, what kind of information do they have to share with humanity?
It's an interesting point about also, yeah, just a quick comment about the, a lot of words in Japanese have these hidden meanings, study of language. And you see, like, what Dylan was just mentioning with the crown chakra, the third eye chakra, and that, that mark reminded me of the word for prayer in Japanese is inori. And that if you break that into two parts, ishiki, I is ishiki or consciousness, and nori is norimono or vehicle. So it's a conscious vehicle. Prayer is the vehicle for consciousness. So it's got those wings, like you said, John.
Very interesting points. And we couldn't get this kind of insight without someone like you here, Greg, with all these, you know, in Japan, you know the language, and you have insight into these ideas in the UFO world. I love it. James was you're talking about ancient people, and there's two dimensions that we can are reasonable to assume based on evidence. I mean, there's all this melted glass in the desert in India. One interpretation of that is that there were nuclear explosions, like what were written about in those ancient texts.
Yeah.
So in terms of material sciences, it's reasonable to say that based on great pyramids and other wonder works around the world that we can't reproduce today, stone construction in South America, etc. People were advanced in material sciences in ways that we've yet to reclaim or remember that we lost. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, material progress is, sometimes we feel like we're making progress, and sometimes it's like, we feel like we took two steps back. It's hard to really make progress in the material world. Spiritual progress, on the other hand, maybe a little easier. And there's, again, evidence that these ancient peoples were having incredible experiences, and the literature is just like a window into that. You know, as you say, Vimana, other experiences, fierce battles, cosmic beings, flights out of body, every kind of shamanic thing. Ancient peoples were having it. Hard living in Stone Age conditions will boost a person to, like, get intuitive or not, or get out, right? Hard circumstances pressure people to develop
crisis
quickly.
Right.
In the ancient Anunnaki, when you read those transcripts, it talks about great wars that happened between the Anunnaki, between the gods, and we're whole, like, between Babylon and Jerusalem, and power struggles over real estate, basically, and who's going to be in charge. So, I mean, that's been going on for a long time. And when you read these epic stories about these great battles and you go to those areas, you'll find immense weapons were used that just turned the Gobi Desert areas the Gobi Desert. It's all glass. It's been irradiated by extreme heat, You find places where in ancient India they talk about great battles where they dug down to the level of where that battle happened, and they were carbon dating the soil as they went. And all of a sudden, what do you know? It's totally radioactive at that level. And they talk about these weapons when they went off, how the forest just burst into flames. The elephants, caught on fire basically and were running. I mean, it was pretty graphic about what was happening. So, I mean, there was some very advanced technology, and there were some warring gods in the past that were on Earth. There was pole shifts, there's meteors that impacted the Earth, and now we're all back. And hopefully, we aren't going to repeat that process.
I'm interrupting, Greg, but I'm just going to jump in quickly. No matter how little people in the West may think of the Hare Krishna spirituality, the fact remains that Robert Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb, mm-hmm. quoted the Bhagavad Gita when they confirmed that they had a wonder weapon. Mm-hmm. That a serious scientist who had access to that kind of resource thought highly enough of the Bhagavad Gita, an ancient text about an ancient battle.
Also have records of, they talked about the Anunnaki had weaponry beyond your imagination. One of them was a planet splitter. Mm-hmm. They had technology to actually split planets in half, I guess. So that's pretty hairy. You think about that, you go, oh, my God, I hope they don't get a little carried away with the Earth. Yeah.
Don't have an argument in the control room.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this all brings up the other big issue here that we're dealing with this new phenomenon of contact. We're discovering we're not alone at the same time as having to process this psychological reality of how much ET contact there's been in the past. Mm-hmm. All at the same time. So That's one another way, a very deep aspect of real contact is this ancient history, the hidden history of humanity, is going to be resurfacing at the same time. So,
and not living in fear too. It's important that because these things happened in the past doesn't mean they have to happen now. And we actually need to educate the leadership that, hey, look, we've already done that. You know, we've been there, we've done that. You know, we've already destroyed each other and we're back. And how many times are we going to do this? And maybe it's time to choose peace this time.
You know, just for people's paradigm, that shift is a deep process, it's a psychological process. So contact ties into all these different forums. The ET presence ties into so many different, every aspect of our life on Earth and every level of our consciousness. So.
I'd like to return to James's question earlier, which has been a discussion point this summer related to the ETs, who they are and what they want. Can we talk some more about our personal perspectives on that?
Yeah, sure. You want me to get my perspective?
James, I'd like to hear from you.
Boy, that's a long one. I know we've got about 20 minutes left here, so or maybe a little less than that, but I'll try to keep it brief. But there's a lot of dimensional things happening. You know, there's beings coming in from other dimensions. There's time travel happening. There's abductions happening. There's back-engineered military stuff happening. Even the Germans had their own craft that they were building back in the 30s. So all these things are going on at once. So when somebody says this is it, you know, that's just part of the puzzle because there's a lot more to the puzzle than we can believe. And it's a very important not to fight over who's right because we all might be right, you know, when we look at the big picture. So my experience is that there are some regenerate ET, some low-level contacts, and there are people that actually on the highest levels of our own governments and religions and things like that are doing worship to these regenerate ETs. And those are some serpent beings, some reptilian beings, and tall grays. And that's coming to a close because it's the higher benevolent ones are coming in and putting an end to that. And so this old Illuminati program, this oligarchy, you know, totally overpower everybody is coming to an end. But beyond that, you have some beings that are here. They're just observers. They're just watching. They're observing this big show that's going on, and they're watching this planetary unfoldment and the ascension process happening on the Earth, this planetary ascension, and they're observing. And some of them have actually stepped in now and are helping out. They're starting to help out now. And then there's other ones that are truly our brothers and sisters, we're their offspring. They have a huge genetic investment here in the planet. And they're helping us with move forward and get along in our evolutionary process. And they're like our elder brothers and sisters that are. All right, we're back. Every time we start talking about this stuff, we get unhooked or disconnected, or it's amazing. I did one show, they had 6 lines go down. So whenever we get into what's going down here, especially when we talk about the Illuminati or the Anunnaki or the Supreme Council that's returning, who are still very highly evolved beings and very benevolent that are going to be taking care of business here real shortly, we seem to be disconnected. You know, go figure. You know, what's but anyway, I just wanted to finish that what's happening too is that, you know, we talked about these other benevolent beings that are coming in and they're assisting with the alignment with galactic plane and the solar activity going on. We're moving into a highly energized place in space. It's the Earth's destiny to ascend and go to the next level. And those who are not frequency specific aren't going to make it. It's that simple. So we all have to rise in consciousness. We have to start operating in unity consciousness and according to universal law. And if we don't, we're just not going to be part of the future of this world. So that being said, I want to turn this over to Greg and get his comments on his experiences.
Definitely. I agree completely. I mean, it's the return of the star nations and the star families and our connections to the stars are in our DNA. So it's, the connections to humanity are a lot deeper than we think. I agree that we've definitely experienced the direct interference that's non-human. We've been there and done that. And it's, yeah, the discernment is important. But as people get this direct experience more and more, it's going to be it's going to be the best thing to distinguish what's been the disinformation in the past. I think we've experienced disinformation that is almost coming out of these negative ET factions. They've mind controlled, and it's a form of mind control. The data and the type of fear that comes through the videos and information is it grabs onto people, and that fear factor has been extremely powerful. But when you contrast that with the benevolent context experience of your own, it's no match. And and then what was happening in people's lives on an everyday level, you know, this shift is being followed minute to minute, second to second, and people thought to thought even. It's amazing how close the guides and the different ET groups come in. I mean, they're looking at 3D outside of time, so it's a different perspective from them. But when they come in, and it's just the serendipity and the auspicious timing of real people's awakening process that they're backing up is just beyond words and unbelievable. So once people start to really taste that higher dimensional consciousness, unity consciousness, and bring it more and more into their daily life, into their everyday consciousness, that's going to be the trigger that gets us beyond all fear and just solidify that, you know, ascension in our society, in our culture, in humanity as a whole.
Great. John, do you have anything to comment on that?
Well, I think, you know, my experience and insight into this question may be more modest than many others. I know folks like James and others who have had far more sophisticated types of personal contacts than I have myself. What do I know? That these beings are spiritually developed, that they use telepathy to communicate with us, and we can experience them in visions. But, you know, my visions and perceptions are limited to more like I'm witnessing a sighting incident. You know, there's a luminous object in the sky, and I'm witness to it. And it's like it's there, I'm there. Sometimes I see them as metallic, but more often I'll see them as luminous. And that typically is the extent. My mind goes there. I'm in a shared space with them. It's sort of like it's game on. And I believe that these are the same beings that I'm filming. And the reason I believe that is because on more than one occasion I've been involved in predictive tapings where we anticipated times and locations to set up the equipment before they arrived. Mm-hmm. And we felt that we were receiving psychic communications. My contact colleagues like Les Mirza were getting precognitive dreams the night before to set up. Mm-hmm. So this is what's informing me. It's not speculation on my part, because these demonstrations of, you know, anticipated sightings and filmings, really, just not really possible to fulfill by mm-hmm. other means. This is the Occam's razor simplest explanation is that it's because we got the memo that we need to do.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so this represents, you know, for me, perhaps a threshold of experience. In other words, I say it's quite modest, but I am onto something, and I am, you know, making a connection. I know that much, and it will unfold. I have allowance for it to become whatever it will be. In other words, what transpires from here, councils of light, or, you know, ambassadors, or, you know, trips to the galaxies, or whatever comes up, you know, whatever it is, let it be. If I had to stay here, and all I do is I work with the folks who are having their own experiences and help them to get perspective mm-hmm. or context and, you know, make community, that would be good. Now, and I'll just quickly come back to one more point, and you can see how much I sort of interdirect the lessons of these questions, you know, who they are and why they're here. Mm-hmm. They're here to influence us to be, you know, they're here to influence us to become better people and live in a better society. But the point I wanted to raise was, it seems time-wise I've lost the thread. So I'll jump back in if I remember.
Okay. All right.
I'll let you guys keep going.
Yeah. The it's interesting because we are coming up to the end of the hour here. We have some time left. If you want to find out more, I want to give this information out. So your website is
jcdi.org, jcdi.org.
And yours is?
Yourinnervoice.com for John Kelly.
And ours is eseti.org. And so you can tap into any of us through those websites. And if you want to find out any upcoming events at eseti, be sure and send a message to eseti reservations@gmail.com, and we'll give you, because the information isn't up on the site. So we have some amazing things coming up here in the near future, and we just have a couple minutes left. So one of the things I wanted to kind of phase out with is that it's so very important right now that we do hold a frequency, and that frequency is a very high frequency, and focus on the most loving, joyous, blissful being you can imagine, and make that your intent to connect with and become the observer and observe ourselves right now, because we're all in process. This energy coming in is putting everybody in process. and people are healing old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences. And these new energies coming in are pushing up past lives and things that we don't even know where they're coming from. And we have a choice. We can be in reactionary mind and react to them and project and blame, or we can move into creationary mind and start creating our own future, what we want to experience, and observe these energies as they come up and learn to release them. You know, just say, I let go, I let God, Creator, Spirit, whatever name you want to give it, just learn practices where you can release these energies as they come up, and just be kind of wary of people that are disempowering you to do your own personal work, because nobody's going to do this for you right now. And the ETs aren't going to do everything for us either. They're going to help us help ourselves. And so we need to stand tall and stand up for our own divinity, our own divine rights in the near future. And you know, focus on that open heart, that our open mind, loving heart, pure intent, you know, as your focus, and be kind to each other and shift into service. You know, love serves. It never overpowers, it always empowers, and love is the ultimate power. So on that note, anything else you want
to stay? We need to stay. One thing we deal a lot with people who come to our events is steering away. I always recommend steering away from the channeling based predictions. And that's in my book, that's just more than way beyond done. We've had the people who come to our events through a lot of internet based material, and that discernment has to come through. That there's, like I said before, there's no replacement for the direct experience. So, as this, that's another thing that people, a lot of myths, in my book, I put out this year, I call it the UFO mythology. You know, lot of the stuff that's been standard fare up until now has turned out to be not quite up to snuff when you get out there and do it yourself.
Do you have any closing words, John?
Yeah, and I remember what I wanted to say, which was this, that people who are having experiences beyond the norm are challenged by the people around them because they can't connect, they're having trouble connecting on that wavelength. And so it forces us to seek beyond our immediate circles and to find each other. And at ESETI is one of the places where we discover each other, and it's what we're doing because of the challenges, because of this knowledge we've been given and experience that makes us unique. We're being challenged to also be part of creating a new world where that's integrated. The lessons of these experiences are integrated. So the challenge of being involved in these studies or being a participant or being having the karma or the destiny attached to it, we were meant to find each other and to work together and to build together and to show people who in name, you know, say they're giving leadership or in name say they're providing us with community, to show them the real way to do it, the integrated way, the cosmic path. Mm-hmm. That I see that. And that's my strongest feeling about what we're doing. And this is a great place to do it here at the ESETI Ranch.
Yeah. And it's a work in process. You know, we're all doing the best we can, and we're going to make mistakes along the way. And they said the only mistake is not gaining the wisdom from the experience. You know, that's the only way you can make a mistake. And as one master said, I've manifested a lot of things, and I've gained a lot of wisdom, but I've never made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And the mistake is if you didn't learn from the experience. But anyway, we're at the end of the hour here. We're going to have to sign off. I want to thank everybody for listening. Watch the skies. There's a lot going on right now in the skies. Not all those things are satellites up there. Don't let people tell you they are. Watch them, observe them. You know, they may flash back at you or power up or make a nice turn or even go behind the trees or flip behind a mountain or something. So get your videos, get your gear out there and be your own disclosure. But anyway, this is James Gillen with As You Wish signing off. Saying goodnight with
Greg
Sullivan with Jay Seti.
John Kelly.
John Kelly with
YourInnerVoice.com.
YourInnerVoice.com. All right. Have a great evening. Good night.